to another Hoops HD preseason podcast. Tonight's episode is the Pac-12 Conference. Joining me once again is our cast of characters. Let's introduce everybody again. Myself, Chad Sherwood. To my left, I believe on your right, first we have John T. John, how are we? How are you doing here? You ready to talk some Pac-12 hoops?
It is the Conference of Champions, I hear.
The Conference of Champions. We also have our other John, John S. John, how you doing there?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
And we have Joby. Joby, are you ready to talk about the Conference of Champions?
they have one team I think that can possibly be that this year, but I think it's more of a Conference of Duds at the bottom for sure.
And finally, last but not least, David Griggs. David, Tim Miles did not join us for the Pac-12. Why not?
Well, I mean, if he was in it, he would win it. But I love this conference for a lot of reasons. First, and we'll get to this, I'm sure, the curtain of distraction is the greatest thing in the history of fandom since the beginning of time. It is phenomenal. Stop what you're doing and just watch the second half of any Arizona State home game. The other thing I love about this league is you have Oregon, the state of Oregon, where it's medicinal, and you have Colorado, where it's legal, and you have Washington, where I don't know if it's legal or not, but it's everywhere you go. I love this conference.
And Ohio could be joining those ranks tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, anyway.
Well, let's get right into the teams here, and the team last year that had the best season, obviously, was Arizona, and yet, once again, Sean Miller was not able to put a team in the Final Four. Maybe one of the best coaches out there in the country right now that has not been able to put his team into the Final Four. But could have another Final Four contender again this year. And John T., you went to Arizona. Give us your thoughts on Sean Miller's squad this season.
Well, number one, I have Mark Few on line one about best coach never to make the Final Four, although I would certainly put Sean in that conversation, of course. It's going to be a bit of a rebuilding, hopefully just reloading year. They lost so many players last year. First round of the draft, they lost Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Stanley Johnson. They lost T.J. McConnell, who somehow made the Sixers opening day roster, God bless him, and Brandon Ashley. That's like four starters. It's a lot to replace. To do that, they brought in the McDonald's All-American Alonzo Trier. They brought in a front court of Mark Tollefson, who transferred from San Francisco, and Ryan Anderson from Boston College, both of whom I think are going to be thrown in immediately with Caleb Parzewski in the middle.
Well, that's
the backcourt. We'll see how it goes. It's going to be tough. I think they're going to make the tournament. I think they're going to win the Pac-12, but it's far from a done deal.
What's your thoughts on Kadeem Allen in the backcourt there? He's a junior college transfer, but I think he averaged almost 26 points a game at his junior college last season.
Yeah. I've heard good things from the people who are all over the message boards and who go to the red and blue scrimmage and stuff out there. Unfortunately, now that I'm 3,000 miles away, I miss it a lot more than I wish I did. It was such a great experience for me to be there. I got to go to that 2001 championship game when we lost to Duke, which was a sad loss but a great experience. Kadeem's for real. I don't think he's going to make or break it. I'm worried that the loss is going to be we had the ACL tear for Ray Smith a couple weeks ago. I think he's gone for the year. His other ACL after hurting his other one earlier. Apparently he's drinking the same water as the guy from Illinois, but hopefully they can overcome that loss.
David, do you have thoughts on this Arizona team?
I really like them. I don't think they're going to have any trouble reloading. The Boston College transfer is kind of a head-scratcher. Normally, like if a team like Arizona loses its worst player to a school like Boston College, it makes both teams a lot better. I don't know if that's the same in reverse, though.
Okay,
Boston College is good. But no, I really like this Arizona team. Yeah. I do think they'll reload. I think they're going to be high in the rankings and protected seed and another, a Final Four candidate, so... It's just business as usual there. They did lose a lot, though. I just repeated everything John said in an attempt to sound smart.
Well, let me throw it over to Joby, because, Joby, if Arizona is not going to win the Pac-12 this year, the team that's on everybody's talking about seems to be this Cal team,
yeah.
Which, you know, wasn't anything special last season, but Now maybe bringing in two of the top two freshmen in the conference.
Don't say they weren't special. They had Quanzo Martin as their coach and still do. So that's special in and of itself. Yeah, the freshmen are the key here. And when you look at Cal as a whole, the starting five, because you also have Jordan Matthews and Jabari Bird, they might have one of the best starting fives, not just in the Pac-12, but they could rival starting fives anywhere outside of maybe your North Carolinas, et cetera. The problem is what happens after those five is a dramatic drop. And, yeah, whether we want to talk about the shot clock change or et cetera, you're going to need depth in college basketball now. Are they going to make the tournament? Yes, too much talent to ignore there. But will they challenge Arizona? Well, if Arizona can, they always seem to do, like TJ McConnell, et cetera. They find someone like people like that. I think Arizona is once again going to sit atop the conference. Let's also look, Cal, we were talking about this beforehand, Cal has a very tricky preseason. A lot of people are focusing on the game where they're going to Charlottesville. That's a really tough game against a good UVA squad. But it's the other games that I'm pointing to. They've got a very, very uneasy trip to Laramie, Wyoming. When you have a bunch of freshmen that you're relying on, you only have five people really in the rotation, and you're going to that altitude, that is a trap game because it's now positioned right before you go to Vegas and play another messy game against San Diego State, followed by either Richmond or West Virginia.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
John T., you being a Pac-12 guy, do you agree with Joby that this is pretty much a five-person roster here on Cal and there's not much talent below the starting five?
Yeah, I think the backcourt is solid. In addition to Matthews and Bird, they got Tyrone Wallace, who I believe is the leading returning scorer in the conference. Rab is going to be great up front, and because they're a little lean up front, he's going to get a chance to play and star immediately. If you haven't seen this Jaylen Brown guy, though, get on the old interwebs because he was amazing. They had late night with the Bears last week, hit a 360-degree through-his-legs dunk. Obviously, there's more to basketball than just dunking, but this kid seems like he's for real.
They have a great backcourt, and they go out and they get two great frontcourt freshmen who could start right away. I mean, it seems to me you got everything covered except for depth. And
if you do that in a game, should your team just automatically win?
Let's move beyond Cal to Arizona. I think there's one other team. Let me bring John S. in here to discuss them, and that's the Utes. Is Utah a third potential contender for the Pac-12 crown this year?
Oh, absolutely, Utah can. They're going to be led by Brandon Taylor this year, and they're also going to have a few games to prepare them for Pac-12 play, a neutral court rematch against Duke, and then they also get a home game against San Diego State. I think that's part of the 24-hour tip-off marathon.
Was last year. What's the date of the game? Do you have that?
Give me one moment here.
Okay, yeah. It was part of that tip-off marathon last year. It was one of the afternoon games,
David, this Utah team is a team that Lee Delvecchio liked, I think, a colleague who has not been able to join us in these podcasts yet this season, 2 years ago before anybody else in the country did.
The reason no one in the country did was because they weren't that good 2 years ago. But I really think they're strong. It wouldn't surprise me. I think they're going to be in the conversation. I still just think Arizona's a little bit better than they are. But John Tatel, great interview with their coach today.
Thank you.
If you haven't seen it, yeah. But I could. I mean, they're definitely. I liked them last year, but their profile was somewhat lacking. We talked about that. That how is it they're so high in the rankings with. Their rankings seem to be a lot better than their profile, but I still think I think they're a protected seeded caliber team this year.
Okay, well now we're talking three Pac-12 teams that could be really high ranked here in Cal, Arizona, and Utah.
I like Utah more than Cal.
Well, is there a big drop-off after these three, or is there a fourth team out there that may also be able to be among the league leaders? Joby, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I do. I think Oregon is a very good – I think they've established something very nice at Oregon. Yes, losing Young is going to be a factor, but they have just – once again, maybe I'm the depth guy. They have, in my opinion, pretty solid depth at Oregon. And I see them continuing and building. Will they compete for the title? I mean, you know, I honestly think Arizona's got this unless Cal, with that frontline talent, just supersedes them. But Oregon is definitively a tournament team that can make a big move within the conference, have a nice conference record, and be sitting maybe wearing white come March.
Well, and also get a transfer from Villanova.
Yes.
I think.
Yes.
Dylan Innes, you got Tyler Dorsey there as a top prospect coming in. But yeah, you're right. It's tough to make up for the loss of 20 points per game from Joseph Young. But I guess the other issue with Oregon is there always seems to be something going on off the court. It's probably been quieter there this year than any year recently.
And maybe that's a testament to maturity of a program. How about that?
Nicely spun, Jordan.
David.
Or maybe the cop, they've gotten good enough where the campus cops look the other way.
Wow. Oh, Oregon's had their issues. Oh, boy. I'm glad
now, we've already talked about four Pac-12 teams now for a conference that a few years ago looked like it was going to be a single bid conference.
Yeah.
I think the Pac-12 really has rebounded back from its a very dark phase for the conference of basketball.
Absolutely. It's not at the level of the ACC, the Big Ten, or maybe not even the Big East, but was it – I forget if it was 2 or 3 years ago, their first-place team was not selected, and I think Cal was selected, but they were put in the first four, and the only other team that got in was the tournament winner. I don't want to say, was it Colorado?
It was Colorado.
Yeah. So
it was,
yeah,
Washington. It was left at the altar.
Yeah, but they're back to a point now to where they have multiple teams in the rankings, multiple teams that will likely be protected seeds. And, you know, I think Oregon will land inside the bubble, and I think, you know, they'll get some other teams in there as well. A team that was inside the bubble last year that shouldn't have even been anywhere close to it, what do you think of UCLA this year? That was horrendous. Oh, God.
Yeah, UCLA, I mean, they do have Bryce Alford back, and he could play. And I think he's more than just, hey, he's the coach's son. You've got Aaron Holiday and Prince Ali. And I think maybe the biggest question I have for UCLA is whether or not Tony Parker can finally figure out how to play basketball, because I think he's got the talent to do so. And if he does, I think this UCLA team will be in comfortably and not in – undeserved.
Yeah, they won 20 games last year, and I think 16 of them were against sub-100 teams. So while they proved they could beat sub-100 teams, and they could have gone to the Final Four. I know they made the Sweet 16. Had they gone to the Final Four, it wouldn't have changed my mind. But, oh, I was not happy with that selection.
Good. I mean, besides Utah, did they have any other notable wins in the regular season last year?
They had 16 top one or sub 100 wins. It was an incredible domination of teams outside the top 100. Remarkable.
Well, but once again, I hearken back. If you remember, UCLA was inside the formula. Yeah. I even ignored the formula at that point. And
I think we've sort of – Joby, are you there? Joby's frozen.
We'll try to get Joby back here for a second. I'm frozen. Come back. Yeah. Let me turn back to John T.
That is a great picture of Joby. Oh, man.
We got it back.
He was watching the curtain.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the curtain. Let me turn it back over to John T. Being an Arizona guy, let me talk about your in-state rivals there at Arizona State. With a new head coach in town, How quickly do you think Bobby Hurley is going to have this team as a tournament contender, and is it going to be this year?
Not quickly, and no. I feel bad, actually, for Johnny Dawkins. I thought he had the Coach K disciple in the Pac-12 former point guard title wrapped up, and then Bobby Hurley comes in and gets all in his face as a former Duke point guard who's now in the Pac-12. I think Hurley's going to be good. He proved at Buffalo that he can build up a program, and now that he's got a big-time major conference program to work with much nicer weather than Buffalo, I think he can do some things there. He brings back a good core. Jerry Blakes is a very good scoring guard from the two. They made it to the NIT. They had an overtime loss to a good Richmond team. They brought in Savon Goodman as a transfer from UNLV. He had a double-double, including 17 boards in the loss to Richmond. And they have Trey Holder at the point. So backcourt looks solid. I think they need a little help up front, and schedule looks manageable. But, yeah, I do not think that the Devils will be dancing in March.
Well, you mentioned Johnny Dawkins, and you mentioned the NIT. And I guess we'd be remiss here if we didn't mention the fact that Johnny Dawkins' team won the NIT last year, Stanford. I don't know that it's going to quite be as – you normally try to use a championship – a tournament like the NIT or the CIT as a springboard to the following year. That may have been more of a last hurrah for them last year, though. Do you think Stanford's heading down this year? I think they do, but I think they are. They are not going to be nearly as good this year. But I don't know if you disagree with me on that or not.
I do not disagree.
They lost a lot of guys. They have Marcus Allen, and I think they have like two other guys named Allen, which I find hilarious. Yeah. Their schedule looks pretty tough. Villanova, Arkansas, Texas, like they're going to be tested early with a young team, which is not a good recipe for success.
Yeah, but I mean, you lose three double-digit scores off of last year's team. I just know how you make up for that.
Chad, you make an excellent point. There are two types of teams that win the NIT. The young teams that gel, that you go, wow, they could be something really special the next year, and the teams that just are senior-laden, it's one last hurrah. Stanford is without a doubt in the latter category. I think the assessments are right on.
Yeah. Let me bring John S. back in here. John, is there anybody else from the Pac-12 that you think is a tournament-caliber team this year that we have not already discussed?
The only teams that are remaining are going to be the two Washingtons, Colorado, and USC. I don't see any of those teams.
Well, let me start with Oregon State, actually. That's the one team that that I was trying to set you up there for, but you missed out on.
I thought we had already mentioned them.
That was before we were recording.
What do you think?
Real interesting discussions off air, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, Oregon State had some pretty notable wins at home last year. In fact, I think Utah was the only team that I could remember that actually won up in Corvallis last year.
I think that's right. They only had one home loss, didn't they?
Arizona couldn't win up there.
And David, you got Gary Payton II. You got Malcolm DeVivier here. I mean, Wayne Tinkle, who we loved at Montana.
Yes.
Building up this Oregon State team, only Northwestern among all the major conference schools has a longer tournament drought, and they're dropping forever than Oregon State. Do you think that they're going to be in there this year, or close at least?
I think they could be. I don't know if I would go so far as to say that I expect them to be, but I think they have a chance. It wouldn't surprise me if they did make it. I guess that's the best way to put it. This is a team that's improving rapidly, and like you said, they have a lot of pieces in place, and generally teams that can defend their home court, that's generally the first step. They can do that. Let's see if they can go out and win on the road this year. I like what what Tinkle is doing there. I think they're going to get there next year, if not this year.
How about this Colorado team? Let me throw it back over to John T. here. This was almost a disaster at the end of last season when they finished sub 500, decided to play buy their way into the CBI instead, despite being a sub 500, which you're allowed to do. And then their best player decided that he didn't want to play because he wanted to get ready for the NBA draft. I mean, is this a disaster going on here in Colorado, and is it going to continue this year?
I don't think it's a disaster. I mean, they definitely ended the year on a sour note, shall we say. But they bring back Josh Scott, who is arguably one of the best big men in the Pac-12.
True.
Xavier Johnson is nice on the wing. Wesley Gordon got 10 rebounds in their loss to Seattle last year in the CBI. Tad Boyle's proven he can coach both in the regular season and in March. So, no, I mean, I think disaster is a strong word. I think this team will have a winning record, but, yeah, they're not going to win, like, 22 games or anything.
Well, we have another off-season injury that Xavier Johnson out for the season there in Colorado, too. So
they think he might be able to be back by conference play. He tweeted that. But it's so reminiscent of what's been going on in Colorado with the Dinwiddie injury from last year, obviously.
Oh, God.
Yeah. David, let me throw it back to you to discuss one of our favorite teams in the Pac-12, and that's Andy Enfield's USC Trojans. Because I know you've got comments about him.
I guess my comment – I'm actually a little surprised that he's had so little success out there. I liked him when he was at Florida Gulf Coast. You might remember us talking about him under the radar. He took what was – you know, a transitional team, coached them through that period. I was actually more impressed with what he did during the regular season that last year there of Dunk City. What happened in the NCAA tournament, I was surprised they won at Mercer, much less went on to the Sweet 16. But it wasn't a flash in the pan, I didn't think. I thought what was most impressive about him as a coach is how he took a school that didn't even exist, like in 1995, coached the basketball team, and made them conference front runners. I thought that was more indicative of the kind of coach he was than just having a good week in March. But having said that, he's done absolutely nothing out at USC. I'm a little surprised he has not been able to get it going. His teams at Gulf Coast were better than the ones he's had out there, and it's not even close, really. They're awful.
I mean, well, this is the year for him, though. I mean, he's got everybody back from last season.
Isn't that a good thing?
And if he can't, everybody back from a team that lost 20 games.
Yes. I mean,
if he can't start showing results, I think he's on the hot seat.
Yes. And USC is having – I mean, their athletic department is just on a roll right now. Wow. I mean, you have the thing with Sark. You have Pat Hayden resigning. Enfield, as bad as it's been, it doesn't even top the list of things that are wrong out there right now.
Did he resign from USC? I thought he had resigned from the football committee.
I thought he was stepping down after this year, wasn't it? Did I miss? Maybe I misunderstood.
Well, let's head north because there's two teams we have not discussed, and they're both Washington schools, Washington and Washington State. John T., is there anything that you look at in either of these teams this year?
The one thing you should pay attention to in the Great Northwest is Josh Hawkinson, the junior power forward for the Cougars. He's probably going to average a double-double again, and nobody in America cares because nobody knows about him. Getting a double-double in a major conference, like, let's give him a little publicity, a little shout-out.
Yeah. Now, let me take over to Washington. My understanding is that Lorenzo Romar has brought you in one of the top recruiting classes in the entire country this year there in Washington. I don't expect anything out of them this year, but things may improve in the next year or the year after.
Yeah.
Well, there's nowhere to go but up when you lose all those guys. I mean, the dagger was Nigel Williams-Goss transferring because he was supposed to be the future point guard to lead them, and he's gone.
Yeah. And he goes to Gonzaga, which is even better.
They're playing this year.
I'm still bitter. I'm still bitter at Washington because Washington, after their strong 11-0 start last year, in the numbers was the biggest deceiving team because they were clearly in the tank going straight down in a dive you could not get out of, but they still look good on the numbers if you didn't take over emphasize recency. And I was just Washington, a pox on them right now.
Seton Hall of the East, you mean?
Yes, excellent comparison.
Well, on that note, let's see, any final thoughts from regarding the Pac-12? Let's start with David.
Nothing is really coming to mind. I normally have unbelievably, insightful and smart things to say.
Well, let me ask you this, then, David. David, how strong do you think the Pac-12 is this year? I mean, are we looking at four bids, five bids, more?
Four or five, I think. I mean, I think the three, like, you got Utah, you got Arizona, and you got Cal, who I'm not as big on as the other two. But I think, though, I mean, I would expect that those three would get in, and I think you're at least going to have one more. And maybe Oregon State. Maybe.
Joby.
I'm thinking four. You know, Arizona's going to be battling for a one seed, as they typically do. The others, I think, all could be wearing white, but then there's a drop-off. And by wearing white, I'm talking 6, 7, and 8. I don't like any of the other Utah, Oregon, or Cal to be a protected seed, though Cal has the talent to do it if they put it together.
And how about John S.?
I think Washington State has to be the good Samaritan in the Pac-12 this year for co-hosting the early NCAA tournament rounds with Idaho up in Spokane this year at the Veterans Memorial Coliseum. This is going to free up their neighbors up at Gonzaga to play less than a mile from their campus in March, should they make it that far.
Yeah,
that's a good point, actually. John T.,
So my sleeper pick is Oregon State. I think that Wayne Tinkle now has a year under his belt with all his guys. There's a lot of seniors on this team, and I think the glove part two is going to be fantastic. He's a point guard who averaged over 7 boards a game last year and was the conference defensive player of the year. They have an easy schedule. Kansas is going to destroy them, but the rest of the games are winnable. I think Oregon State is going to be squarely on the bubble in March.
It's going to be fun to watch them. Do you think their schedule might work against them? Is it a little too easy?
It won't. I mean, you could argue that. I think it's good. It would be better if they were a younger team, that they don't have to get thrown to the wolves. I think as veterans, they can capitalize and win, like, double-digit games in non-conference play. And the thing is, that you mentioned the drought. The last time they made the tourney in 1990, their star player was Gary Payton I, and now it took a whole generation for them to get even close to getting back. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
I do like the Oregon State pick. I also think, though, that I would keep an eye on the curtain of distraction this year. I think that that may, the free throw differential that you have in those games at Arizona State may be enough to sneak out a few victories there, and if things bounce right, I would not be surprised to see Bobby Hurley on the bubble in his first season there. And, and you know, it's just so much fun watching the curtain that yeah. We've got to root for them anyhow. But on that note, for myself, John S., John T., Joby, and David, I want to thank everybody once again for tuning in, and we'll be back again real soon with another preseason podcast. I believe the Big 12 will be up next. Thanks.